Peace be with you. I am Bruce Wozniak. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other platforms. Thanks so much for joining me for this and hopefully many other episodes. The show website is CatholicSportsRadio.net, which has everything from a built-in player to hear each episode there, links to various podcast platforms where you can listen and subscribe / follow, logos to click on to follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, as well as join the Facebook group. Plus, the website has a bio about me and even an area called For Listeners, where you can submit prayer requests. I was talking with a fellow podcaster recently, someone who was having some challenges, and at one point our conversation turned to her website, and she bemoaned the fact that there's actually too much on there, and I had to agree with her. That's a tough first impression to make, meaning someone hitting your website and being overwhelmed and possibly then deciding, ugh, forget it, and they move on to somewhere else online, and you've lost them just like that. The folks at Merchantside Marketing Group provided expert insights back when CatholicSportsRadio.net was being built, and that's why it still makes such a great first impression today when people land there. They have built award-winning websites, and this is their specialty. You might get introduced to someone who does it on the side, but is that who you want to put your reputation, your image, in the hands of? Don't end up being disappointed like the podcaster that I mentioned. Use one of the ads on CatholicSportsRadio.net to get in touch with Merchantside Marketing Group about your website and tell them you heard about them on this show. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. There are no shortage of memories for athletes to look back on when their playing days are over. In fact, in some cases, books are written, documentaries are made, and those stories are kept alive. It's also what keeps traditional sports talk radio so popular. No matter how long it has been, people love hearing recollections about goings-on from years gone by, even if the former athlete is talking about something that happened away from competition. But in our faith life, it can't be about looking back. Jesus spoke about incidents that cannot distract us, no matter how briefly, from proclaiming the kingdom of God. In chapter 9 of Luke's gospel, verse 62 tells us, Jesus said, "No one who sets a hand to the plow and looks to what was left behind is fit for the kingdom of God." Friends, on this show, you've heard more than once that every saint has a past, but every sinner has a future. Meaning, rather than dwell on the past, we must look ahead to finding our way to eternity with our Father in heaven. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest competed for the U.S. National Bobsled Team from 2004 to 2014, qualifying for three Olympics. On the four-man team, he earned two Olympic medals, gold in 2010 and silver in 2014, and nine World Championship medals. During his years as a student athlete, he played football for the University of Nebraska as both a running back and linebacker, earning academic all-conference honors along the way. Present day, he is a certified strength and conditioning specialist, and this past May was appointed as Director of Sports Performance at USA Bobsled and Skeleton. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Kurt Tomasevich.
Hey, Bruce. Good to be here.
Yes, thank you, Kurt. And by the way, what I left out of that intro was your being a performance research analyst in the Athletic Performance Laboratory at your alma mater, the University of Nebraska. From everything I saw in my preparation for this interview, you are a lifelong Nebraskan. What was the family size growing up, and was it a traditional Catholic household?
Yeah. My hometown was Shelby, Nebraska, and population is around 700 people, so pretty small. But
wow.
There's a pretty big Catholic population there. I have one brother, one younger brother, and then my parents. Of course, we lived in Shelby, pretty typical Catholic family. We tried to get to Mass every weekend. My dad worked really hard. He was a combine mechanic, so a lot of hours. So sometimes the weekends and going to Mass was sometimes the only time I'd have to spend with him. So that was honestly, when I was early growing up, that was my motivation for going to church, was to just spend time with my dad a little bit. So, then grew up, was an altar boy for 10 years, and was participating in the Mass quite a bit that way.
Nice, nice. As important as it is that we hear about a guest's faith formation, I'm always interested to hear how and when participation in sports began. In your case, I'm going to guess that you played high school football, being that you ended up playing that sport at the University of Nebraska. And then also, by the way, was this a scholarship situation, or did you walk on with the Cornhuskers? What did all that look like?
Yeah, well, first of all, you know, growing up in a small town, my graduating class was 25 kids. Mm. So, you know, from high school, so everybody plays every sport.
Wow.
You know, whether they should be playing or not, you know, that's kind of the way it is and the tradition. So, yeah, I played football, basketball, track.
Wow.
Played baseball in the summertime, and you know, I loved all the sports. You know, I won't say that football was my favorite sport per se, but I had an opportunity to try out for the Nebraska Cornhusker football team my freshman year. So I was actually on an academic scholarship, tried out for the football team. So when I started, of course, I was, you know, scout team running back and really had to work my way up the depth chart.
Hmm. Interesting. Interesting. When you were playing college football, were you thinking at all about the NFL? Take us through your mindset back then, as well as graduating from Nebraska and facing the reality of not playing football anymore.
Yeah, I think everybody that, you know, does play college football, of course, you know, that is the ultimate dream, would be to get that chance at the NFL. You know, again, working my way up the depth chart and only having 4 years to do so, by the time I was playing significantly, it was my senior year, my junior, senior year. So I didn't have, you know, a whole lot of, I don't want to say, you know, film to show NFL scouts, but, you know, I did go through kind of a combine process to try out. And I was always pretty good at the athletic testing. Mm-hmm. But again, I just didn't have the video and call it college experience that the NFL scouts were going to take a chance on me. So I instead continued to go on and work on my master's degree. And that's when I came across bobsled.
Well, but again, the fact that you did, quote unquote, put yourself out there for the combine, is there still a little bit of a, gosh, I guess this is it, I guess I'm done with my football career? Or were you kind of realistic that just because I put myself into it, Bruce, doesn't mean that I was waiting for the phone to ring?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I was realistic in the fact that, you know, if a team was going to take a chance on me, it would have been, you know, a pretty special circumstance. Again, yeah, maybe just on a special teams kind of a situation, or again, practice squad, and make me earn my way up the depth chart once again. But yeah, I was realistic that, you know, my NFL chances were pretty small, but you know, I was understanding that, that God's plan just didn't include the NFL for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Meanwhile, during your college years, you were staying active in your faith life, thanks in part to the Newman Center. Share with the audience what I'm referring to.
Yeah, the Newman Center at the University of Nebraska was, you know, a student organization. There's a the campus does have a Catholic church on the campus, so and it's there's a lot of students that are active with that. So, you know, there's masses that are geared towards students. You know, 10 o'clock at night, you know, daily mass. You know, and you know, try to pick the times that would fit with student schedules too. And then of course there's a lot of, you know, activities and associations, you know, scheduled for students. I became an acolyte while attending those programs. And honestly, through the football team, our head coach, Frank Solich, who is Catholic as well, you know, he made sure that we always had mass available to us, you know, before games. Mm. And, you know, if we were traveling, you know, over the weekend, you know, getting back late on a Saturday night, you know, things like that. He made sure that we had those opportunities available too. So yeah, my faith was a big part of, you know, my college life, you know, as well as football too.
Wow. Wonderful. Wonderful. So you started to go there a few minutes ago. When and how did you turn your interest, your attention, your focus, your goals towards bobsled and competing on the U.S. national team?
Yeah. I mean, it's funny that almost every bobsledder, at least in the United States, just kind of stumbles upon it, rather than being recruited. It's not we admit, you know, it's not a popular sport for youth and, you know, a development pipeline. Most of our athletes come across it in their college years or even after that. So I was kind of the same way. Again, I mentioned that, you know, I was done playing football, but I was working on my master's degree, still trying to stay in shape and work out. And then a girl that ran track at Nebraska, she had been recruited to be on the women's national bobsled team. Hmm. And and I heard her story and had a conversation with her, and she basically talked me into it. She said, you're the right height, weight, body type. And, you know, this is something you should give a good look at. So she put me in contact with the bobsled head coach at that time. And I went through a tryout process in September of 2004. And then in about 18 months, I was able to make the 2006 Olympics.
Wow. Wow. Amazing. Amazing. Well, for the audience, I do hope you heard last week's episode of Catholic Sports Radio when my guest was Aaron Black, who had played college soccer at George Mason, but nowadays is at the University of Connecticut, where she is doing full-time missionary work with the athletes there. She made a reference to fundraising your salary, which is something that I felt a strong connection to, since I don't get any income for doing this show every week, nor do I have any sponsors yet. As a result, and keeping in mind that all of this is just me doing this, no staff, no volunteers, all the costs that come with operating Catholic Sports Radio have to come out of my pocket. I think the latest bill I got was for $25, or maybe it was actually $50 now that I think of it, having to do with maintenance on the website. This is a ministry for me, a labor of love, so to speak, but that doesn't make it easy when I'm faced with the various costs on top of all the work, such as booking the guests, doing the research and preparation for every interview every week, recording each episode, and then doing the post-production, the editing on each one, plus keeping up the website, doing the social media accounts, and even more of what you don't see or hear. You have heard in the past when I have publicly thanked listeners and guests who have made a financial contribution to Catholic Sports Radio, which is a big help to me as it relates to trying to manage the various expenses and even evaluating whether or not I can or can't take advantage of potential opportunities to grow the show, such as different conferences that are out there. On the website, there is a Donate to CSR button that makes it fast and easy for you to contribute securely online in any amount you wish. There's no drop-down menu of amounts to choose from. You put in whatever you're comfortable with as a one-time contribution, by the way. Do please prayerfully consider what you can do for this ministry in terms of financial support to help me offset the various costs that I have to otherwise find a way to take on my own. Instead of doing it online electronically through the website, alternatively, as some folks have opted to do instead, you can get in touch with me through the contact section of CatholicSportsRadio.net to ask for the mailing address, and I will personally write you back with details on where you can send a check. I'm grateful to everyone who listens to the show and would most appreciate your considering Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing as I continue working to use this ministry to bring more people closer to Christ. Kurt, just before that break, you were talking about when your athletic career shifted to bobsled. You have a few different topics that you speak on, one of which is titled Relinquishing Control to God. Why do I think you're going to tell us that you learned that lesson both in training to make the national team as well as during competition?
Yeah, 100% right. I think, you know, if I've learned anything now that I've been done and retired from bobsledding, that, you know, it's a pretty unique story. And I, you know, I admit that in many ways it's, you know, a conversation starter when people hear that I've, you know, spent 10 years on the bobsled team. So, you know, I've started to use that platform a little bit to, you know, try to, you know, one, use it to spread a positive message about my faith, about anything that I've learned along the way. And, it, you know, I've been retired now for what, 6-7 years. And so I've had chances to look back at my career. And I remember when I first started with the sport, yeah, I was, you know, growing up in central Nebraska, I knew nothing about bobsled. I was flying up to Calgary, Canada for this tryout. And I remember being on the plane flying from Denver to Calgary and just really being really nervous. And of course, you know, I'm a long time ago, right? So I was listening to my CD player and I remember this song kind of came on and that moment, it really kind of hit me that, you know what, I can get up to Calgary and I can do my very best and I might get laughed at and get on a plane the next day and head right back to Nebraska. Or I could, you know, get off the plane, go through this tryout, and next thing I know, you know, I joined the bobsled team, and who knows, years down the line, I may win a gold medal. Mm-hmm. You know, I kind of assumed it was somewhere in between, but that moment kind of helped me realize that there's a lot that's going to happen that I can't control. Mm-hmm. And so I just said, I'm just going to do my best, let a lot of things fall where they may, and just kind of approach the whole adventure in that way. And it ended up being a 10-year adventure.
Amazing. Wow. Wow. Well, I wondered if you were prayerful and had some kind of routine from your faith life during your time in bobsledding? Although, if the answer is yes, maybe you did back when you were a football player too, or no?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, that's definitely a part of a lot of athletes' routine, I guess, and in some ways, almost an unhealthy kind of superstitious routine. And, you know, I try to avoid, you know, doing just going through the motions and just having it be part of my, you know, performance-based routine. But when I started bobsledding, you know, I kind of had a, you know, a few things that I would do in the morning and, you know, read a short scripture or, you know, be prayerful a little bit. But it actually really came into play or really became part of my daily routine and my bobsled sliding routine after my first crash. Mm. And, you know, if anybody has seen the, you know, the movie Cool Runnings, of course, you know, there's a bobsled crash in that movie. And, you know, every once in a while, if you're watching it on TV, you know, bobsled crashes happen and they are, in a sense, it's kind of a controlled car wreck. You know, you're, you know, sometimes crashes, once you flip upside down, you know, you're still going to get to the bottom of the hill and you're just going to ride on your helmet and on your shoulder. And it sometimes takes, you know, 20, 30 seconds for the sled to finally come to a stop. And so in my first bobsled crash, I'm kind of proud of this actually, but, you know, my first instinct was when I felt my head hit the ice, there was a, you know, big impact. Immediately I started saying Hail Marys. Mm. And I remember it took about three and a half Hail Marys for the sled to finally come to a stop.
Wow.
You know, and that was my reaction. So after that, you know, you get a little more nervous when you're at the top of the track. And so I started to think about safety as well as performance. And so I started, every time I'd walk to the line, you know, I'd pray about safety for, you know, myself and my team, but also my competitors, you know, and everybody involved. And that really became kind of my bobsled prayer routine, was to, you know, think about safety, think about all my competitors and athletes that are there, more than just winning and losing.
All right. I want to tell the audience, wait until the episode's over. I know you're tempted to press pause and say 3.5 Hail Marys to see how much time goes by and see how long that is. What Kurt experienced what he just described, but he's got a lot more to share with us. So please wait until we're done and then you can do that little test. Kurt, having competed for the U.S. national team for 10 years, you certainly must have had lots of opportunity to experience adversity. When an athlete is competing at a high level such as that, especially the Olympics, how do you return to God when things are difficult instead of focusing solely on techniques, strategies, fundamentals of the sport, that type of thing?
Yeah, honestly, I think that lesson that I learned probably came when I was done competing. You know, and this is kind of becoming an important topic. There's a lot of athletes that, you know, when they retire from the sport, and it's such an intense mindset, you know, for athletes that you are so focused on your event. You're so focused on, you know, your world and performing, you know, to your, the best of your ability that, you know, especially Olympic athletes, the Olympics come and go. And then all of a sudden it's over. And now there's a big void. And, you know, there's some, you know, mental health aspects that need to be considered about that. And I went through that a little bit when I was done competing in 2014. And, you know, I had my college degrees and I was, you know, in pretty good shape to find a job, but I just didn't feel as motivated to do, you know, to have a career as I did as an athlete. And so I kept, you know, having these moments of, you know, what should I do next? Where do I go? What should I do? How do I have that same kind of fulfillment in my life? And that's kind of when I talked to a priest friend of mine for a while that I've known for years and years. And, you know, he was a friend to me before he was a priest. And, you know, he always told me, he said, whenever things are difficult, go back to the basics, go back to God, you know, make daily mass part of your routine and, you know, let a lot of things fall into place from there. So don't get caught up in being lost. Don't get caught up in how you don't know what to do and, you know, let that anxiety build. Instead, you know, just keep it simple. You know, and eventually, yeah, there were some opportunities that came along and I was able to start a teaching career at Nebraska and then again, work in the lab and then, you know, things just kind of worked out for the best.
Wow. That's, you know, it's great advice that the priest gave you, and it's funny how simple it sounds, and yet we all have a tendency to really try to make things even more difficult and more complicated on ourselves. But, you know, one thing I've not heard you say is it sounds as though, and I am putting this in the form of a question, so correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds as though you were very blessed throughout your athletic career, both college football and all your years in bobsled. I'm not hearing you talk about any injuries, any major injuries that you suffered.
Yeah, I will admit that over and over that, you know, so many athletes, you know, part of their story is overcoming some kind of injury or adversity that way. And I was very blessed. And I always tell people, in fact, I have never pulled a muscle.
Wow.
And all the athletic sprinting and everything I've done, I've been pretty lucky to, and I'll say smart too, to take care of my body with nutrition and recovery and sleep and everything. So, you know, I was aware of those sorts of things, but, you know, I was very lucky and blessed that, you know, I didn't have any major injuries despite being in, you know, again, a number of bobsled crashes and, yeah, definitely a few concussions here or there, which are hard to admit sometimes. But yeah, for the most part, I was pretty lucky with a lot of things.
Is that one of those things where I hear a lot of guests on this show say, well, I recognize it now. Did you realize as you were going through your football and your bobsled careers, wow, I'm really blessed, and actually went out of your way to thank God for the good health that he kept you in? Or is it, honestly, Bruce, I look back now and I see how blessed I was, but in those moments, I didn't even realize it?
I think both. I think, you know, in the moment, you know, I knew that, you know, some of my teammates and competitors, you know, they got injured, and I was, you know, thankful at that time that, you know, maybe that wasn't me. But then, yeah, definitely when I retired and I looked back and, you know, I played 10 years of full contact football and 10 years of bobsled, and, you know, my injuries were pretty minimal. Of course, I feel pretty beat up now, and I'm 41 years old, and my knees and back are a little achy, but yeah, I mean, I was a price to pay, of course, but, you know, for the most part, I've definitely blessed that I was able to stay as healthy as I did.
Yeah, yeah, amen, amen. In the lead up to today, you mentioned to me that you attended Christians Encounter Christ weekend retreats. When and where were those? And of course, what were your experiences like with those?
Yeah, that was actually after I was done competing in bobsled. And that's, you know, exactly the type of situation I guess I found myself in when I was a little bit lost, wasn't sure what I was going to do for a job and, you know, even a house. I was, you know, I was in my mid 30s and living with mom and dad. So, you know, kind of looking of what, you know, toward what I was going to do next. And, yeah, I was offered an opportunity to attend this Christians Encountered Christ weekend. And just like everybody else, probably, I thought, you know, I don't want to give up an entire weekend, you know, three full days of, you know, what are we going to do, sit around and pray? And I don't know. So my attitude going in was like, okay, I'll guess I got nothing better to do. But leaving there, you know, I'll tell anybody that ever asks, you know, how rejuvenated and excited I was. And it really helped me transition from being an athlete to what I was going to do next, even though I didn't know what I was going to do. But it really helped me put things in place in a healthy priority order that kept me moving.
Yeah, and I can echo that in terms of, I remember when I made my Curcio, the person who is my sponsor said, I'm really not going to tell you much of anything because I don't want to get your hopes up. I also don't want to go the other way and have you kind of dreading going into this thing. I want whatever is meant to happen to you to let it just happen on its own. And I was just so thrilled with the whole Curcio experience, which was good because there was something else that I don't want to say its name because it's a very popular program out there. And I don't want people to say, oh, Bruce had a bad experience with it. It's just as Curt is attesting to, everything moves everyone differently. And so Christians Encounter Christ was wonderful for him. Curcio was wonderful for me. And it's all the reason why we should kind of listen to those invitations that we get to try out one or more of these opportunities. Curt, I mentioned your being a performance research analyst in the Athletic Performance Laboratory at the University of Nebraska, and you have also been an assistant professor of practice in the Department of Biological Systems Engineering. It's a long way from having taught eighth grade CCT for 6 years. What was that experience like?
While I was working my PhD, just after, again, I was done competing, you know, I was offered an opportunity to teach a class as well. And so I started teaching a class in biomechanics, and that led toward my, you know, letting me do my dissertation in biological engineering. And that led to helping the athletic department, the athletic teams at Nebraska with their athletic, performance lab. And it's on the forefront of science and technology and applying those sorts of things to sports. And so I was really lucky that that was a part of it.
Wow.
And yeah, it was great to be able to, you know, to teach college students and be hands-on with sports and athletics and engineering. And, you know, I loved that, that career as well. And then it just kind of happened that I was at Mass one time and they said they were looking for teachers. And I said, well, I'm a different kind of teacher here, but I am a teacher. And they said they needed somebody to teach eighth grade CCD, and very vastly different, you know, teaching middle schoolers compared to college kids. But I look back and my eighth grade CCD teachers were a huge influence on my life. And it was very positive. And I thought, you know, maybe this is, you know, I can give up, you know, Wednesday evenings to try to have the same influence on, you know, a 13, 14 year old kid and, you know, kind of see where that goes. And it was pretty small classes. I mean, they were, you know, 10, 12, 15 students at the most. And I was able to have, you know, very open discussions, because I know being 13 and 14 now is very different than when I was 13 and 14, you know, 30 years ago, or you know, 25, 30 years ago. So yeah, it was interesting. I learned a lot from them, and hopefully I was able to instill some positive influence on them too.
Yeah, I love that part about that you learned from them, because I think we all get caught up in the idea of being the coach or being the teacher, and everybody quiet down, I have a lot to say. But in fact, we hear lots of guests on this show who say, I learn more from my athletes, my student athletes, or I learn more from the students that I took on a retreat, or whatever the case is. And so it was a unique perspective for you, as you say, going from teaching college students at University of Nebraska to all of a sudden you're teaching religion to eighth graders.
Yeah. And you know, one of the biggest things I learned is that, you know, in eighth grade now, students are facing things that, you know, I wasn't facing until I was, you know, in high school or even college, you know, with the social aspects and pressure and many other things. And at the same time, I'm not sure if the students, the eighth graders now, are in a way as mature to handle those things as I was when I was in eighth grade too. So it's almost kind of a double-edged sword. So it's not easy being in junior high right now. And I can vouch for them when they say that.
Yeah. And all of a sudden you're saying, well, I do have some aches and pains, and I did have a lot of bumps and bruises along my athletic career, but maybe I'm not so disappointed in being 41 right now instead of the reverse, being 14.
Yep, exactly.
Well, Kurt, it's been great having you on the show. Thank you so much. I appreciate you making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio.
Yeah, my pleasure. It was great to talk to you.
Listeners, I thought that it would be appropriate, given Kurt's long career participating in sports, if we closed with an athlete's prayer. So let's do this together, of course, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. For I asked God for strength that I might achieve. Instead, I was made weak that I might learn to humbly obey. I asked for help that I might do greater things. Instead, I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praises of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. I asked for things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing I asked for, but everything I hoped for. Almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. Because I am among all athletes who have been most richly blessed, you see, I lost by inches, but I won by a mile. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.